Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 10th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Daily U.S. coronavirus cases pass 60,000 for the first time.
Florida, Texas, and California report record deaths from the virus.
New York City cancels large events through September to stem the spread.
And New Jersey takes measures to slow a rising transmission rate.
A weak tropical storm will impact the tri-state area. Plus, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is back in prison. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The latest on the sale of the Mets, and Tiger Woods announces his return to the PGA Tour.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm, helping clients be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures are lower on this Friday morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 137. NASDAQ futures down 34. The DAX in Germany up 0.25%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.2%. 10 years up 11/32. The yield 0.57%. 2-year yield 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.9%. Down 75 cents at $38.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $7.90 at $18.1170 an ounce. The data check is brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/banks. John?
Nathan, for the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000.
Everybody says, we have so many cases. That's because we test so many people.
That's the president's reasoning for the increase. He spoke late yesterday. Around the same time, in Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California reported record deaths from the virus.
And Arizona is seeing its highest number of infections in 6 days. It comes on the heels of what Governor Doug Ducey calls a brutal month of June.
What we have had since are continuing weeks of increasing positivity. So our positivity is way too high.
Ducey's now tying the increase directly to reopening efforts.
The more activity that is happening in our economy, the more the spread will continue.
Now the governor is telling Arizona residents to stay home. He's also delaying a decision on whether to open classrooms for the new school year.
In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing ahead with plans for in-person classes.
I want our kids to be able to minimize this education gap that I think has developed.
DeSantis says Florida is leading the way with virtual learning, but it's still not enough.
You talk to teachers about what happens over the summer and how there's a summer lag. Well, geez, now we're from mid-March all the way now. And in spite of good efforts with the online, it's just not the same.
Record deaths in Florida are also being accompanied by record hospitalizations. Miami-Dade County reports the highest number of patients in intensive care since April.
In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is canceling large events that require a permit through September.
It is not time for large gatherings. Just like we said, we would not have indoor dining in New York City because we saw the really painful reality in Texas and Florida and other places.
De Blasio hopes the move can free up room for outdoor dining and the city's open streets program, which expands public spaces for residents.
We've had a lot of success making New York City healthier. We got to really stick to that plan.
New York will deny permits for any event larger than one city block, although demonstrations, religious events, and news conferences are exempt.
In New Jersey, worries remain over a transmission rate that's creeping up from previously low levels.
The rate of transmission has gotten a little bit uncomfortably high for us, just over one today. It improved slightly.
We spoke exclusively with New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy late yesterday. He's joined with New York and Connecticut in asking travelers from high infection states to self-quarantine.
You could do a fair amount, but it is the United States of America, and one of the things we can't do constitutionally is to stop people from another state at the border. I never thought I'd say this, but I'd love to be able to build a wall around us.
While there's no plans for a wall in the works, Murphy says the state is taking other measures to stem the spread of the virus.
We're building out a large community core of contact tracers They were able, for instance, to track down some folks who had been at a wedding in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hoboken had a bunch of folks returning from hot spots. So far, it has worked, but it is not a perfect system. And again, we have to appeal to personal responsibility.
On Wednesday, New Jersey's transmission rate reached 1.1%. That's the number of people each COVID-positive person infects. Just weeks ago, the rate stood at 0.6%.
Now, the jump in cases had investors selling stocks yesterday. We saw a similar reaction in Asia overnight, with China leading declines. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The Shanghai Composite fell for the first time in nine sessions after two state-backed Chinese funds said they plan to trim their holdings, a sign Beijing may be trying to cool the recent rally, which has added $1 trillion to equity values this week alone. The CSI 300 closed down 1.8%, retreating slightly from five-year highs. Elsewhere, automakers and retailers weighed on Japan's main index amid concerns a resurgence in virus cases there will derail the economic comeback. The Nikkei 225 down by 1% in Tokyo. A resurgence in virus cases in Australia saw the ASX 200 fall to its lowest level this month. And here in Singapore, stocks fell and the currency was slightly weaker as Singaporeans head to the polls. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. And when it comes to the economic recovery from the pandemic, estimates continue to slow. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says a return to pre-crisis levels could take as long as 2 years.
The models that I'm looking at right now suggest that by the end of the year, we'll be have more jobs and more growth than we have right now. But we won't be at a level that is equal to where we were pre-crisis. I don't think we're going to be at that stage until mid-2021 or maybe later into 2022.
Bostic expects bumps throughout the recovery as we learn more about the virus and as Americans find new ways to do business safely.
And S&P futures are lower by 14 points now. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures down 32 points. 10-year up 11 32nds. The yield 0.57%. The euro at 1.1293 against the dollar. The yen at 106.77. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street, and let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. It's not a powerful tropical storm, but a system is expected to impact the tri-state area later today. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest on this rainmaker.
Michael, we have an area of low pressure near the eastern shore of Maryland. The National Hurricane Center has decided to call this Tropical Storm Faye. What it is an area of low pressure that's got tropical moisture associated with it. It's going to go up the Hudson River Valley tonight. That's going to lead to rain heavy at times developing across the tri-state area today. It'll become breezy, and that rain will continue into tonight. Right now, it looks like most areas will see a 1 to 3 inch rainfall from this system as it lifts northward. There could be a few spots, though, that do a little bit better than that. Look for some wind gusts over 30 miles an hour. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was among those painting Black Lives Matter in big yellow letters in front of the Manhattan's Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue.
Folks today felt jubilant and triumphant. We were not denigrating Fifth Avenue. We were liberating Fifth Avenue by putting those crucial words right there in front of President Trump's building.
Trump responded via Twitter that the mural would denigrate the luxury avenue. Despite President Trump losing some of his fight to keep his tax records secret, the White House is claiming yesterday's Supreme Court decision was a victory. The Supreme Court ruled a New York prosecutor can get access to the president's tax records, but asked a lower court to first revisit the details. President Trump reacted.
It's a pure witch hunt. It's a hoax. Just like the Mueller investigation was a hoax that I won, and this is another hoax.
It's unlikely Trump's records will be exposed before the election. President Trump's former personal lawyer is back behind bars after refusing the terms of home confinement. Michael Cohen, who is serving a 3-year sentence for campaign finance violations and other crimes, was released on a furlough in May and allowed to return to his home in Manhattan for fear of catching COVID-19 in prison. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons says Cohen was on furlough pending formal placement in home confinement but declined to agree to its conditions, which include electronic monitoring and getting approval for interviews. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, so Michael, thanks.
And time now, the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And we say good morning to John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. The Nets and 21 other NBA teams are in Orlando. The bubble experiment is underway. Major League Soccer teams got to Orlando earlier, and that league has seen two teams, Chicago and Nashville, have to stop playing because so many of their players have tested positive for COVID. NBA teams will be practicing this weekend. The games begin at the end of July. The depleted Nets, who've had five players opt out, have added another veteran, Michael Beasley. Second pick of the draft back in 2008. This will be his eighth team. MLS back playing. NYCFC lost to Philadelphia 1-0. The PGA Tour is in Muirfield, Ohio this week and next. The bigger tournament is next week's Memorial. Tiger Woods is going to play. It'll be his first tournament since mid-February. An update on the sale of the Mets. Hedge fund king Steve Cohen, whose $2.6 billion deal to buy fell through, could be back in the game now that the preconditions are no longer in place. The price tag has also gone down. But the New York Post reports that if all bids are close, owner Jeff Wilpon would prefer to sell to the group that includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. One NFL wide receiver reacted to comments made by another, the Patriots' Julian Edelman, after the Eagles' DeSean Jackson made anti-Semitic remarks.
I'm proud of my Jewish heritage. And for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is.
Edelman invited Jackson to together visit the Holocaust Museum in Washington. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And a programming note, tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show when we speak with Cincinnati Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer. He tells us about contentious negotiations that finally led to a deal to play baseball this season, plus what the game's going to look like in the midst of a pandemic. Catch that conversation tonight at 7, tomorrow at 11, right here on Bloomberg Radio. Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create an innovative solution to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. European stocks are fluctuating this morning as investors weigh positive corporate news against China's stalling equity rally and a rising number of coronavirus cases. Treasuries are on the rise and futures on Wall Street are falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 19 points. Dow futures down 183. NASDAQ futures down 38. European stocks, as we say, are fluctuating. 10-year is up 13 32nds now. The yield 0.56%. 2-year yield 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil now down 2.5%, down 99 cents, $38.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $9.60 at $18.13.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1290 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2601. And the yen is at 106.72. Awaiting inflation data this morning. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time with the release of the June Producer Price Index. And the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report comes out at noon today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000. Governor Doug Ducey says testing will be ramping up in Arizona as the state deals with a high positivity rate. The Boy Scouts of America, which filed for bankruptcy in February, is expected to face at least 10,000 sex abuse claims in its bankruptcy. That's according to a lawyer representing victims. A major announcement from the Big Ten concerning fall sports. The conference said fall sports teams, including football, will play only conference opponents. It is the first Power Five conference to announce an adjustment to its college football season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 520 on Wall Street. We had this headline cross a little earlier on the Bloomberg. The U.S. five-year bond yields dropping to a record low of 0.261%. So with that kind of yield, what's a fixed income investor to do? Let's say good morning to our first guest this morning, Lalit Abjali of J.O. Hambro. You made it to Friday. Are you going to tell me to all in on corporate debt because the yields with the government stuff is so low?
Well, first of all, good morning. It's very hard, and I think it's challenging too, because one of the things I think people also forget is, with an aging population in the U.S. with the increasing retirement, it's a challenge for the savers. Normally, I think, we all grow up to say, you get rewarded as you save, but in this case, you're almost getting punished to save because you're not earning much. It's an incredible challenge. Incredible challenge.
Now, should I be buying for the price increases or for the yield?
Well, they go hand in hand a little bit. But I think what's interesting is, in the fixed income world, this is why if you look into the flows into mutual funds or the ETFs, you will see a massive increase into investment-grade funds, into high-yield funds, because people are so desperate for the yield. On the flip side, it is exactly the same argument why the TINA, there's no alternative, argument exists for equities. So equities with strong balance sheets that are dividend-paying. I mean, this is why you're seeing this massive divergence. And, of course, it's all enabled by the central banks.
Is it a buyer's market or, well, it sounds like it's a seller's market.
It's a seller's market. It's a seller's market for sure. Absolutely. I think it's a buyer's market for the challenge sectors, especially in high yield. So if you're in that travel, lodging, leisure, entertainment areas where, it's unclear what your future cash flows are going to be, where the visibility of the future is bleak, that's where it becomes a little bit of a buyer's market, but predominantly it's a seller's market.
Well,
go ahead.
You bring up that high yield. Can you do fundamental analysis in a market like this when the central bank is buying? I mean, do credit ratings matter that much at all?
Sadly, in the near term, when you have the elephants in the room, which are the central banks, it matters a lot less. But I think you have to take the long-term approach and look forward, so especially for high yield, where defaults matter and you can actually get capital loss, capital impairment. You have to look through the fundamental analysis.
Well, if you're looking also to the long term, I'm going to raise the question of long-term inflation outlook, and that's certainly going to eat into your investment. What is your long term? And by that, I mean, if you look at the five-year forwards.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, I think so. We debate this very heavily. I think clearly in the near term, the supply shock and the fall in demand is certainly deflationary. But one of the challenges, and I think people point out how central banks have not been able to engineer inflation. But one of the challenges that we struggle with, and this is a hot debate for us, and I don't really have an answer, but if you look at sort of the debt that's accumulated on the government balance sheets, what alternative do you have if you can't just inflate it away?
Yeah, I don't want to get too in the weeds here. I'm a little curious as to what the central bank is buying. Could they have had a bigger impact? They're purchasing in the secondary market, right?
They're buying predominantly. They're buying investment grade graded corporates, and they bought some ETFs, including some of the high yield ones. So they have a little bit over $10 billion. It's $10.7 billion now as of yesterday. What's interesting about the central bank is, I think what people forget, is they're doing everything they can to ease the monetary conditions so that transactions can happen, right? So you have a buyer, willing buyer, and a willing seller, which we didn't have for a period in March.
Yeah, it also raises the question that at some point down the road, are we propping up some sort of march of the zombies? Only about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, we certainly are. But today, the liquidity and that transmission mechanism is overpowering everything. It's called kick the can a bit further down the road.
Why did I know you were going to say that? Lolly, always a pleasure. I appreciate it. Lalit Abjali of J.O. Hambro. And again, the five-year bond yield's dropping to a record low of 0.26%. So take that back to drop into consideration. As far as equities go, Dow futures right now, they are down 171 points. S&P futures, 17 points lower. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they are down 33 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg WBBR weather for today, tropical storm warning. That is right now in effect. We have flash flood watch also in effect from 6 a.m. until midnight tonight. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower after daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. passed 60,000 for the first time. Arizona is seeing its highest number of infections in 6 days, prompting a warning from Governor Doug Ducey.
People are safer at home, and if they don't have any place to go, stay home.
Ducey's now tying increased infections directly to reopening efforts. He's telling restaurants to limit capacity to 50% and delaying a decision on whether to open classrooms for the school year.
In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing ahead with plans for in-person classes.
There's something to be said for being in school, seeing people you know, growing up like a normal kid.
That's despite another day of record deaths in Florida. Record fatalities also being reported in Texas, Arizona, and California.
In New Jersey, worries remain over a transmission rate that's creeping up from previously low levels. Governor Phil Murphy has mandated face masks in public and will enforce the measure with fines.
We expect folks to do the right thing here. And do we reserve the right to warn them, to summons them, to fine them potentially? Absolutely, we have to.
On Wednesday, New Jersey's transmission rate reached 1.1. That's the number of people each COVID-positive person infects. Just weeks ago, the rate stood at 0.6.
The jump in coronavirus cases had investors selling stocks yesterday. We saw a similar reaction in Asia overnight. Shares in China led declines after government-owned funds announced plans to trim holdings. Well, traders are taking that as a warning the country's equity boom has gone too far.
And in Washington, an announcement on tariffs could come today in the battle between France and the White House over taxes on big tech. Here with that story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sources say the tariff list to be released will be in the ballpark of $500 to $700 million. The items targeted could include levies on French wine, cheeses, and handbags. One source says the U.S. may delay the implementation of the duties until France starts collecting its tax later this year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Futures continue to fall with S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures lower by 151, NASDAQ futures down 23 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.25%, the CAC in Paris higher by 0.1%, 10-year up 13/32, the yield 0.57%. WiMAX crude oil is down 2.5% or a dollar lower at $38.62 a barrel. The euro is at 1.1293 against the dollar, the yen at 106.72. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Where it's 5:33 on Wall Street, and time to get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. It is not a strong tropical storm, but it is expected to be a rainmaker in the tri-state area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolett has the latest.
Michael, we have an area of low pressure that's bringing rain to the Jersey coast. It's going to come up into the tri-state area today. The Hurricane Center has decided to call this Faye, and that's why the tropical storm warnings are in effect. It's not a true tropical storm. It's an area of low pressure that's got tropical moisture associated with it. So what we'll see is rain heavy at times in the tri-state area this morning. It'll continue to the afternoon. It'll become breezy, especially along the coast where we could see gusts over 30 miles an hour. System's going to move fairly quickly. That should limit the rainfall about 1 to 3 inches. Watch out for some localized roadway flooding later today. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio is canceling large events that require a permit through September. De Blasio says he doesn't understand with some of the decisions being made in other states after his city was widely used as an example of how bad it can get.
Anyone who watched what happened in New York City would have to be really sober about saying we're not going to risk lives and ignore the science. But unfortunately, a lot of politicians decided it was more important to do what Donald Trump said.
Also yesterday, de Blasio helped to paint a Black Lives Matter mural on Fifth Avenue right at the Trump Tower's doorstep. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says there were 28 new COVID-19 deaths yesterday and 354 new cases. Murphy, speaking to Bloomberg, says, as for the state's economic impact from COVID-19, we're going to need revenue boosters.
We will have to borrow money. This is not either or, it's and both. And we'll probably have to put some revenue raisers on the table as well as we develop our next budget.
President Trump reacted to the Supreme Court rejecting his complaints that he's being harassed and ruled in favor of a New York prosecutor's demands for Trump's tax records.
This is purely political. I win at the federal level, and we won very decisively, and so they send it into New York. And you know what's going on in New York. Everyone's leaving. It's turned out to be a hellhole.
However, the president's taxes and other financial records will likely be kept out of the public eye at least until after the November election. President Trump's former personal lawyer is back behind bars after refusing the terms of home confinement, which include constraints on talking to the press. Michael Cohen is serving a 3-year sentence for campaign finance violations. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. As the four pro sports leagues all get ready to play, college sports is another matter. The day after the Ivy League said there'll be no games this fall, Big Ten football made a move to limit games and travel. Teams will only play within the conference. So out are games like Ohio State versus Oregon, Michigan and Washington, and a game that was to be played in Green Bay between Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Other leagues may follow suit. The athletic director at Ohio State says he's pessimistic about any football being played this fall. NBA rookie sensation Zion Williamson being sued for $100 million by a marketing agent that he fired. A court motion and an affidavit says that Williamson's stepfather was paid $400,000 while Williamson spent 1 year at Duke. The real question will be whether Duke and its legendary coach Mike Krzyzewski, who both had pristine reputations, were involved. The Nets practiced in Orlando. They've added to the roster veteran Michael Beasley, but he can't practice until he tests negative 6 straight days, and he can't play games until he serves a 5-game drug suspension. The Knicks working on hiring a new coach. They're 8 to 9 years. Yesterday's interview was with Tom Thibodeau. He's seen as the favorite to get the job. Tiger Woods' first tournament since February will be next week, the Memorial in Ohio, a tournament he has won 5 times. The Mets last winter had a deal in place for Steve Cohen to buy the team for $2.6 billion. The deal fell through. Now the price tag has reportedly gone down to about $1.7 billion. New York Post reports the group that includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez is the one that the Wilpons would prefer to sell to. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street, and time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
More than 300,000 New York businesses received loans from the Federal Paycheck Protection Program, which has so far distributed $521 billion to U.S. businesses struggling in the wake of the coronavirus. That's according to data released by the federal government this week. An increasing number of Connecticut workers filed new claims for jobless benefits at the beginning of the month. The news comes as Governor Ned Lamont delayed a third phase of commercial reopenings after spring business closures to contain COVID-19. 12,400 Connecticut residents filed initial jobless claims last week. Acting on a commitment to improve service and reduce long lines at MVC agencies, Governor Phil Murphy and Motor Vehicle Commissioner Chief Administrator Sue Fulton have announced a furlough exemption. It's for MVC agency employees, as well as extended expiration dates for licenses and registrations. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Curry.
Ed, thanks. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford is resisting its employees' push to end sales of police vehicles.
I'm Jeff Bullinger, and on Cogo in San Diego, I'm reporting Walt Disney has not yet decided on an opening date for Disneyland.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on big job losses in high street retailers, despite the Chancellor's push to avoid unemployment.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that NBC's new Peacock streaming service debuts next week, but as of now, you won't be accessing it through Roku or Amazon Fire TV.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And coming up on the economic front today, we get data on inflation. Economists say the producer price index probably increased for the second month in a row. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In May, the PPI posted the first increase since January in the aftermath of pandemic shutdowns and the oil price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Even so, Bloomberg Economics says significant spare capacity combined with a stronger dollar will keep wholesale costs in check. Federal Reserve officials also anticipate low inflation, allowing for additional emergency economic aid if needed. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. It is 5:40 on Wall Street. Latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now. It's the heist issue, including the empty frames that remain the art world's biggest mystery. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. You're listening to Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. S&P futures are lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 152. NASDAQ futures down 22 points. The DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, both up 0.2%. The 10-year up 12/32, yield 0.57%. 2-year yield 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.4%, down 95 cents, $38.67 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5%, up $8.40 at 18.12.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1285 against the dollar, the yen at 106.80. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. have passed 60,000. Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California reported record deaths from the virus. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden launched his plan to revive the economy from the coronavirus-related recession with a promise to build back better than what existed before the crisis. A centerpiece of Biden's plan is intended to foster manufacturing and encourage innovation. China pledged to retaliate after the U.S. sanctioned a top member of China's ruling Communist Party and three other officials over human rights abuses in the far western region of Xinjiang. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:48 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. Well, New Jersey, once part of the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, the state flattened the curve, and now there are fresh worries and increasing transmission rate. Bloomberg's David Westin sat down with New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy to discuss the state's response to the virus and where it goes from here. Let's listen in to part of that conversation right now.
Governor, I think the eyes of the nation and maybe the world are focused on New Jersey to some extent now because you were really the epicenter to some extent of the COVID-19. You fought it off. You took a lot of tough actions. You did it day after day after day, get those numbers down. Now they're starting to come back. Why?
You're absolutely right. And the toll has been enormous. Over 13,000 confirmed deaths and probably at least a couple more thousand that are suspected also to have passed from COVID-19. That's the awful tragedy. Our numbers have gotten a lot better. And so as they got better, we made the decision based on the facts and the science to begin step-by-step reopening our state. So we knew when we were doing that, doing it responsibly, I hope at every step, that we would take on more risk in terms of increasing the potential for transmission. We were comfortable with that risk. What we were not expecting was the explosion in cases elsewhere in the country. And so the rate of transmission has gotten a little bit uncomfortably high for us, just over one today. It improved slightly. And so we put in with New York and Connecticut a travel advisory for folks to self-quarantine if they're coming back into our state from a hotspot. As your colleague noted, and by the way, I welcome her to New Jersey as a resident, we are now requiring face coverings outdoors. Those are two steps that we've taken over the past 10 days or so. We've held off on indoor dining, which brings me no joy, but it's quite clear that this virus is a lot more lethal inside than it is outside. And so we're watching this minute to minute, and again, trying to make the decisions at every step based on the facts.
As you say, Governor Murphy, the numbers are still way better than they were at the worst of it, but that transmission number of above R naught, I think it's called, is disturbing. If the main problem is people coming from outside the state, either people who live outside the state or New Jerseyans who've been away and come back, do you really have the authority? Do you have the power to control that? I understand you can advise them to quarantine. How do you enforce that?
Yeah, you could do a fair amount, but it is the United States of America. And one of the things we can't do constitutionally is to stop people from another state at the border. I never thought I'd say this, David, but I'd love to be able to build a wall around us, either our state or our region. So it's a big amount of appeal to personal responsibility. And New Jerseyans have been extraordinary throughout the entire pandemic of doing the right thing, whether it's staying at home, now asking to wear face coverings, work at home, a whole series of things that we've asked of our fellow citizens, and they've done the right thing. We need that again. We're developing an app which is not ready for prime time yet, but that will come online. Lots of signage at our borders on the highways and airports. We've built up enormous testing capacity, which we didn't have several months ago. And so there's not just self-quarantine if you've come in from a hotspot, but get tested for crying out loud. We've built the capacity, use it. So we're hoping to get at this a number of different ways. We've had a few instances that we know of already, and the system has worked. We're building out a large community core of contact tracers. They were able, for instance, to track down some folks who have been at a wedding in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hoboken had a bunch of folks returning from hotspots. So far, it has worked. But it is not a perfect system, and again, we have to appeal to personal responsibility.
To what extent are you prepared to back that up with the specific executive order about the face masks outside, if you can't socially distance? Are you prepared to go beyond just advising or even giving out some warnings? Are you prepared to actually fine people?
Absolutely, you have to be. You have to put teeth in this. But part of the reason why we hadn't gone to, we were the first state in America, by the way, to go to mandatory face coverings indoors. Part of the reason we didn't go outdoors until now, number one, the virus is a lot less lethal. That doesn't mean it isn't lethal, but it's a lot less lethal outside. And secondly, to your point, David, it's really hard to enforce. We don't want to put something on the books that we can't put teeth behind. But again, it's up to local law enforcement. We expect folks to do the right thing here. And do we reserve the right to warn them, to summons them, to fine them potentially? Absolutely, we have to.
That's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin late yesterday on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Trademark attorneys speculate the Washington Redskins are scouring the federal trademark registry. Being able to lock down trademark rights will be a major factor in any name change for the NFL team. The EPA has paused its plan to reopen its Washington headquarters, according to an internal email that went out on Thursday. And environmental groups plan to file suit in California over a logging permit in Sonoma County that would clear mature redwood trees.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now we turn to the big legal development of the week. The Supreme Court handing down two decisions in some of the most watched cases of the term involving subpoenas for President Trump's financial records. In a pair of 7-2 rulings, the court backed a New York grand jury subpoena for the president's financial records while blocking, for now, House subpoenas. The decisions will likely keep the president's financial records out of public view through the November election. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Leah Littman, a constitutional law professor at the University of Michigan Law School.
Can you tie the reasoning in both cases together for some overarching principles?
Sure. So the reasoning in both of the subpoena cases was, in important respects, a win for the rule of law. The Supreme Court rejected the president's broadest argument that the president's personal financial records can never be subpoenaed while the president is in office. The Supreme Court also rejected the Department of Justice's slightly narrower version of that argument, which was that grand juries or Congress had to make heightened showings of particular need in order to obtain the president's financial records, even from third parties. However, the outcome in both cases was practically a win for the president because the Supreme Court directed the lower court to review the lawfulness of the subpoenas, allowed the president to raise challenges as to why these particular subpoenas interfered with his ability to carry out his duties. Because that directive will tie up these subpoenas in further litigation for the next several months, none of the president's financial records will become public before the 2020 election.
Would you describe either of these as landmark decisions on presidential powers akin to, let's say, the Nixon tapes case or the Clinton-Paula Jones case?
I would not go so far as to say either of these decisions are landmark opinions on presidential power. So the New York grand jury case in particular was very much an affirmance of the court's prior decision in the Nixon Watergate case. I do think that the congressional subpoena case is a significant presidential power decision in that it preserves the ability for presidents to delay, if not prevent, congressional oversight of presidential activity.
University of Michigan law professor Leah Littman speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are lower now by 12 points. Dow futures down 126. NASDAQ futures down 18 points. The DAX in Germany is moving higher, up 0.4% now. So is the CAC in Paris. Nikkei 225 in Japan closed down 1% overnight. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was 1.8% lower. 10-year Treasury up 11/32. The yield 0.57%. 2-year yield 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.2% or 87 cents at $38.75 a barrel. The euro at 1.1290 against the dollar. The yen at 106.79. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.